This is Larry King as we stay atop this scene. The car is not exceeding the speed limit, and the police are not forcing it and are not pulling it over. You see them all trailing it. That's the California Highway Patrol are trailing it, but not pulling
it over.
Show
the people on the bridges, Jeff. Pat, we're just now crossing the 605.
California Highway Patrol is also telling CNN,
so we're starting to
and I'm repeating this to you as I hear
Long
it in
Beach
my
area,
earphones.
Actually north, east Long Beach.
But again, O.J. appears to be holding a gun to his head.
720 WGN. 25 years ago today, the bodies of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman were found in the courtyard of Nicole's Brentwood condo. Did the police botch the investigation? Did the prosecution make huge mistakes? Joining us from Clifford Law Offices is attorney Bob Clifford. Thank you for coming on so late. We appreciate it. How are you, Bob?
Hey, Pete. Good to be with you. And yes to all of the above. They botched the investigation. The coppers didn't handle everything correctly. They lied during their testimony, and they gave this guilty man every opportunity to walk, or so some would say.
Well, think back 25 years ago when you first heard about the murders. And remember, if people don't remember, O.J. flew to Chicago. He was staying in a hotel next to O'Hare.
Yes, he was. And what did the local police do there?
They had metal detectors.
Yes.
He flew back to L.A., and they brought out the metal detectors, and they were looking for the knife. They were looking for the murder weapon.
Exactly. And, you know, that case riveted the nation and the world for months. You know, you just played in the opening the chase, the low-speed chase in the white Bronco.
Right.
That was watched by tens of millions of people. This matter, this case, captured the attention of the world like no other case has before or since.
Well, it was 25 years ago this morning that they found the body. So the murder was committed the night before, and the chase was 4 days later. So it happened on June 17th, 1994.
Well, the police tell you that he was always a person of interest.
Right, right.
And he had a tumultuous relationship with his wife. There was a history of a lot of trouble. He was known to be an insanely jealous man. So his reputation preceded him.
Right.
And then put him on the very close watch list of the police. And he finally burst and couldn't take it anymore. He was holed up at his friend Al Colley's home and jumped into, you know, the Bronco and took off. But, you know, it wasn't like he was going 90 miles an hour. We all saw it to this day. We could close our eyes and you could see that Bronco going along the California Highway and Expressway.
Bob, it's one of those moments where you remember exactly where you were.
Correct. Well, I don't know if I remember where it was, but I remember watching it.
I was in a bar in Rockford, believe it or not, an Irish pub called Stash O'Neill's, and the NBA Finals or the Knicks
yes.
were playing on TV, right?
Yes, it interrupted the finals. You know, this case, for so many reasons, was just unprecedented. It captivated the nation. It captivated the world.
We're talking with Bob Clifford, attorney Bob Clifford. Now, what were your thoughts 25 years ago when the evidence started rolling out? You know, the blood in the Bronco and the shoe prints were matching. I mean, as you think about this, and I've seen the miniseries, I saw the ESPN series, you've probably seen this over the years. What were your thoughts as the evidence started to roll out?
Well, you know, as at that time, of course, I'm a lawyer of, you know, maybe a little over a decade, you know, 10 and a half, you know, 15 years. And I'm watching it and I'm saying, look, it looks like a pretty strong case to me. But then, of course, they assembled what became known in legal circles as the Dream Team. You had the likes of F. Lee Bailey,
right.
Johnny Cochran, Robert Shapiro, Robert Kardashian, who came out of retirement as a lawyer to reactivate his license to get involved in the case. You had Barry Scheck, who this day is probably the foremost leader in forensic evidence and its use at trial. He assembled this team of lawyers that was extremely formidable versus the likes of Marcia Clark and
Christopher Darden. Right.
Even the then District Attorney Gil Garcetti, whose son now is the mayor of L.A. But Garcetti said that Marcia Clark really wasn't his first choice. She ignored the advice of jury consultants. You know, in our world, Pete, we use jury research virtually in every case that we're handling.
Absolutely.
It's very predictive. It's very valuable. And apparently Marcia Clark had the benefit of that, but deliberately chose to go with her instincts as distinguished from the research, and it really came back to bite her. And she was, you know, up against trial lawyers. You know, Johnny Cochran, I had the privilege of knowing Johnny Cochran. He was a friend. Johnny and I did a mock trial one time for the American Bar Association in Canada, and it was a recreation of the sinking of the Titanic and how would it be presented to a jury nowadays. And Johnny came up with the line, you know, you'll recall the very famous line, if it doesn't fit, you got to, you know, quit.
Right, right.
Johnny came up with a line for that mock trial for the sinking of the Titanic that said, if you build a boat, it's got to float. and, you know, I mean, she was up against really formidable talent.
Yeah.
And so was Darden, and they were out-lawyered, they were out-gunned, the lawyers were able to show that the police did not dot their I's, cross their T's relative to the collection of evidence and the preservation of evidence. And bear in mind, when you go and you want to take someone's liberty away, or even in some states where they still have, of course, the capital offense, you can be the death penalty. You know, there has to be free, no doubt whatsoever. And, you know, contrast that with the result a couple years later where he was convicted, he was found guilty in a civil case and with 20-some-odd million dollars assessed against him. So that's the difference in the burden of proof. So if you want to take away someone's liberty, you want to give them the death penalty, you must prove beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
And it was very clear from the examination of the evidence. I mean, look, the lead investigator, Furman, took the Fifth Amendment.
Yes.
You'll recall.
Yep. Remember that. Would you ever have had O.J. try on those gloves if you were working on the prosecution team?
Well, not unless I knew they'd fit.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's a cliche in trial practice that says you never ask a question on cross-examination to which you don't already know the answer,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the same would be true with that kind of demonstration. You never do a demonstration unless you know it's going to work the way you want it to.
Right. Bob Clifford, Attorney Bob Clifford, thank you for coming on. Now you can go to bed. And by the way, we finally had a chance to meet about a month ago at Chicago Cut Steakhouse, and it's really nice to meet you in person.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. You know, it's not that late at night, but as I told you at the beginning of our call, I just flew in from Europe. I represent families in the crash of the Ethiopian Airlines in March of this year, the Boeing case, the 737 case, and you're going to see a lot unfold about that over the months ahead. It's a terrible tragedy, and it's that one too is going to captivate the nation and the world because aviation is common to all of us around this globe.
Right. Attorney Bob Clifford. Bob, we'll have you back on to talk about that, too. Have a great night. Thank you so
much.
You
too, Pete. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
It's 720 WGN.